This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Let's get it going. This is Late Night right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Gary, it seemed like it took a while to get going out there in the first quarter. How tough was it to find a rhythm with everybody?
Is it what?
How tough was it to find a rhythm? Just get going, get everyone on the same. Look, everybody was rusty coming out of the break.
It happens. It's just part of just, being on break and coming off and, playing the first game, getting the, kind of cobwebs out, missing 4 or 5 days off the basketball court, playing some, great basketball. Of course, everyone's out there is going to try to get their rhythm. So, stuff happens, but we still had a chance to win at the end of the game. A few calls could have gone our way either way, happens.
What did you see on that final play?
I tried to set a good screen on Moop. I don't know if he got fouled or not. I don't know what happened. And then I had 3.5 and tried to make a best play.
Tony, did you feel
he
got fouled or
anything? I don't know. Yeah. I love my money. Yeah.
This is kind of a gritty game between two really good teams. Did you just feel like it was kind of punching back and forth there
for them? But I think that some of the controllables on our end could have, prevented some of their shots, rotational stuff, things that we just allowed just to happen. We could have prevented it, but, game plan and form the next time, we'll be more prepared. Obviously, the series is 2-1. We're well aware of that. We got one more game against them. We'll see how it goes.
You're over 41 minutes tonight. Is that something you talked to Brad ever about? And obviously, down the stretch here, is that something you'd like to play more of in these situations?
I mean, I'm ready to play him. I don't really need to talk to Brad about it. I think, he does a great job of managing the game. So I just play off of that.
All right, that's Kyrie Irving after the 98-97 loss the Celtics had to the Bucks tonight. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so, number 617-779-7937. I like how Kyrie said, I like my money, doesn't want to get a fine. Now, after further review, after I see this play a couple of times here, Marcus Morris definitely fouled on that play where he's trying to set a back screen as Kyrie for Marcus Morris for the lob. So definitely a foul there. Marcus Morris, that's what he was upset about. He thought that he was clearly fouled, which he was. They missed the call at the end of the game. But nonetheless, I would just rather Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum be in that position than Marcus Morris. I don't understand the fascination that Brad Stevens still has with Marcus Morris. He had a great beginning to the season, has not nearly been the same player really the past month and a half. He has not been the same player. Jaylen Brown's been better. Jason Tatum has been significantly better. I don't get why this team tries to force the ball to Marcus Morris all the time. And whenever Marcus Morris gets the ball, all he does is shoot. I would just like to see more options or more opportunities, I should say, for Jason Tatum and for Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum, 13 shots tonight, and Jaylen Brown ends up 6 of 9 from the field. I'd like more opportunities for Jaylen Brown when he's 6 of 9 and he hits 3 of his 4 threes. Remember, Jaylen Brown last season was a good 3-point shooter. He just had a slump to begin the season because he couldn't figure out his role. That was his issue. Now he's figured out his role. He's actually playing well, and he's proven he's ready for a bigger role. So when is Brad Stevens going to get him more involved? At some point, the coach has to get these guys more involved. Call things for these guys. Call plays for these guys. Because whatever you're doing right now, it's not working. Here's another thing. And we mentioned it in the first hour. It was pointed out that the Celtics are dead last in free throw attempts per game. You look at it tonight. 5 of 6 from the free throw line. They took 43s. They were 14 of 40 from three-point territory. At some point when your threes aren't falling, and I get they're tied for second in made threes per game, are the Celtics. And they have a good record. But at some point, when your threes aren't falling, at some point, get to the basket, okay? And that has to be emphasized by the head coach. It's not working just jacking up all these threes all the time. At some point, let's break some guys down off the dribble and get to the basket. And you know who are some guys that can do that? Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown is great coming off screens when you get him on the move. Jason Tatum can beat guys in isolation situations. So why don't we involve them more in the offense and let them go to work at times? Because this offense, clearly, it's inconsistent. I get it's a top 10 offense in the league and all that. But when you watch it, does it seem like there's a method to the madness? When Kyrie's not playing, it does seem like there's somewhat of a method to the madness. But Brad Stevens still, and I get that the net rating and all this crap is better when Kyrie's on the court than when he's not. But it just seems with the Kyrie offense meshing with the Brad Stevens offense, they've never been able to figure out a way to get those two things working at the same time. Kyrie Irving is great at times. He was not great tonight, but he has been. But Brad Stevens can't figure out how to get this thing rolling. And I just am very fearful of this team as we get closer to the postseason that they still have not established the secondary star in this team or the secondary option. It seems like Marcus Morris is just as much the number two option as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are. I'd much rather that role go to Jason Tatum than Marcus Morris, rather. Because Marcus Morris has not been good for a month and a half. Jason Tatum is one of the up-and-coming stars in the league. Why don't we get him more involved? They should not be taking around the same amount of shots per game. That's just the reality of the situation. Marcus Morris, 3 of 10 from three-point territory tonight because he had a good start to the season. It's one of the worst things that could have happened to this team because now he thinks he's like Kyrie's number two. He thinks he's Kyrie's second banana, and that's because Brad Stevens has never established a hierarchy on this team. Brad Stevens, the genius in all this, learn how to manage some egos too. Don't let all this crap continue to leak out of the locker room. All this stuff continues to leak out of the locker room. Kyrie says whatever he wants because Brad Stevens has never had to manage egos before. He was coaching at Butler where nobody was covering the team. Okay, everybody was listening to the coach. Those are collegiate guys. You get to the NBA, you have a terrible team when you first get here. Everybody's going to listen to you. And then last year, nobody believed in you, so all the young guys were going to buy into whatever you were saying. Okay, that's the reality of it. Now when you have real, like, NBA problems, like we've seen teams have over the years, how do you manage Shaq? How do you manage LeBron James? Now when you have to actually manage those big egos, and that big ego is Kyrie Irving, Brad Stevens has failed this year. He has failed. The culture is horrible right now. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Olivia in Boston. Hey, Olivia.
Hi. So I agree with all you just said, but I don't think that Boston deserves Kyrie Irving. The way that that last caller was just talking about him, saying that he sucks, like, I get why he's frustrated. Gordon Hayward is supposed to be the number two. And he's been really inconsistent. He's had a lot of flashes of being better. But, of course, it's taken him a long time. And I think that that's why there's no hierarchy, because it was supposed to be Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward. And then we've had Baines with injuries. We've had Robert Williams with injuries. It's just been a really frustrating season, and I get why he's frustrated with the media. I just don't think this whole narrative that Kyrie sucks and he can just walk is correct. I think that's the wrong take for us to have.
So you're saying, essentially, that the city doesn't deserve Kyrie because they're upset with him right now?
I'm saying that I think the way that the city's acting about Kyrie is just really ridiculous. Like, I mean, I just don't see why people are saying that he doesn't deserve to be mad about the media. They've just been completely just been twisting his words and been saying that he is being ridiculous, but he's not. He's not LeBron. He's had a frustrating season. You know, like I said, Gordon's been really slow to come back. Jaylen Brown had a slow start. Tatum had a slow start. He was doing those Kobe twos. Like, I get why he's frustrated, and it's not his fault. He carried the team for a lot of our slump.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Olivia. You can grab her line if you want. It's 617-779-7937. A couple of things. The Gordon Hayward point is definitely fair. Everybody thought he was going to be the number two guy. And the last couple of games, that was one of the negatives about tonight. Or not negatives, the unfortunate thing about tonight is Gordon Hayward didn't play. And he was playing really his best basketball of the season. I get he had two good games against Minnesota. But he was really good in that game a couple of weeks ago against Philadelphia, or last week, if you will. And he was really good in that game against the Pistons. He played really good in both those games. He hit, what, 6 threes in one of those games. He played really, really well. So Gordon Hayward was starting to come on, so it sucked that he didn't play tonight. But I don't really feel like, to Olivia's point, that Kyrie Irving, like, the media is twisting his words. I don't see that whatsoever. And as a fan, I don't understand why people wouldn't be upset with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is the guy that told you, I'm going to be here as long as you want me. Kyrie Irving is the guy that did a commercial with his father where he said he wants his number 11 jersey hanging up in the rafters. So he said he wants to be here long term. And then he says, ask me on July 1st. And this is supposed to be the leader of your team going forward. And he continues to throw guys under the bus, the young guys in particular. So as a fan of the team, I don't understand why you wouldn't be upset with the way that Kyrie Irving has been handling himself. What has the media twisted? The only thing, I guess, would be the video, but you gave him an opportunity, if you're Steve Bolpet of the Boston Herald, to basically just clear the air, just say, oh, you know what? That actually isn't what I said. That's all Kyrie Irving had to say, is it's a story because everything has gone on with you and Kevin Durant. You had the dinner in Miami. You were the only guy out there when he got his MVP trophy at the All-Star game. You guys clearly have a big relationship, right? You're really good friends. You said you're best friends. So when the video surfaces, I understand it's stupid. I understand the original frustration from Kyrie. Okay, because it's a stupid video. Everybody's saying he's saying two max slots. But Kyrie Irving was so upset about that. The guy, Steve Bolpet, the reporter from the Boston Herald, who asked you about it, is not the guy that put the video out there. All you have to say is, yeah, we didn't say two max slots. And then you can put an end to that one. You don't even have to go back on this whole thing about ask me on July 1st. All you have to say is, look, I understand there's stuff about my free agency, but that is not the conversation me and Kevin Durant were having. That's all you have to say there. And then it goes away. But all this other stuff with the media hasn't created any of these narratives. Kyrie Irving is the one that continues to say things. He's the one that said he called LeBron James. He's the one that throws the young guys under the bus. He creates all these narratives. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Charlie, who's at Merrimack College tonight. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, man. Jay and Charlie here calling in. How's it going?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good, thanks. I was just actually calling about a few things. I wanted to know if you thought it was worth it, that all the talking that Kyrie's been doing is worth it after he came in kind of clutch at the end of the game.
And after he came up clutch?
Little top shot. Yeah, he hit a big three. And,
Yeah. But he, yeah, the end of the game. I thought you were referring to the play at the end.
No. And then I was, the play at the end sucked. And then I was curious if you thought like it was worth keeping him around for all that talk or what you think in general about it, top shot up.
Okay, I appreciate it, Charlie. Grab his line if you want it, 617-779-7937. First thing, if Kyrie Irving, as I've mentioned, this is my whole stance on the Kyrie Irving long-term contract. Kyrie Irving simply, if Anthony Davis is not coming to the Celtics, I'm not giving Kyrie Irving a five-year max contract. Bottom line, I don't want to have to deal with this for 5 years. And if things happen with this team where they struggle maybe next year or the year after that, when is Kyrie Irving going to say, I want to trade? Because next year he won't be able to, right? Because of the language in the NBA or whatnot. But eventually Kyrie Irving is going to want to trade if things don't go well. That's the reality of it. Because I don't think that Kyrie Irving is going to pass on $49 million extra dollars like guys have done in the past. Kevin Durant passes up money. LeBron James passes up money to do those 1+1 deals. So they have complete control. The reason those guys do that is so they can have control over the organization. That's what they're doing. They're taking control over the organization. It's this player empowerment movement that really started with LeBron James. But I look at Kyrie Irving, a guy that's had multiple knee procedures, just was dealing with a knee sprain. I don't see him being the type of guy that's going to say, no, I'm going to pass on $49 million extra dollars. No, I don't see that with Kyrie Irving. I don't see Kyrie Irving actually doing that. So if Kyrie Irving is going to be with the Celtics for that $188 million or whatever it is with this current team right now, I just wouldn't do it. I understand he's still young. He's 26 years old and all that, but you have all the trouble off the court. And then you're going to give him a five-year contract. He's going to say whatever he wants. Now, the one power the organization would have is the fact that he's under contract. But Kyrie Irving's going to continue to say stuff like this. I would just go with, all right, let's build around the young guys, the Jaylen Browns, the Jason Tatums of the world. And at some point, we go after a free agent or a trade for a Damian Lillard or somebody along the lines of Bradley Beal. But I'm not building around Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a number two banana. That's what he is. He's Robin. He is not Batman. Like, when he was playing with LeBron James, LeBron James was obviously the mega superstar, and Kyrie was asked to, okay, Kyrie, you be in isolation sets and do what you do best, which Kyrie Irving is one of the best players in the world in terms of isolation basketball. We saw it. The best team in the world, the Golden State Warriors, can't cover him. He had 40 points in one of those NBA Finals games. We know how good Kyrie Irving is in that sense. But Kyrie Irving is not the type of player that makes everybody else better. He's much more in the Allen Iverson mold than he is in the Jason Kidd mold, right? Who did Allen Iverson ever make better? He just had a bunch of goons that could rebound for him. And they never won championships with Allen Iverson as the main guy. Weren't even close in that Lakers series. And the Eastern Conference back then, remember, Celtics went to the Eastern Conference Finals 1 year with Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker. The Eastern Conference Finals sucked at that particular point in time. So Allen Iverson could never get over the hump and win a championship. Now, Jason Kidd, I understand it took him to get to Dallas, but he was also in the finals 3 years in a row with the Nets because he made all these guys better. He made Brian Scalabrine into somebody that got a big contract. Scal got a big contract. Richard Jefferson got paid forever because Jason Kidd was getting him wide open shots. Okay, that's what he did. Like, Steve Nash got everybody open and all these different type of things. Kyrie's not the guy. And remember, Steve Nash's teams were winning 60 games a year. Okay, and they were, what, 2 games away from a finals 1 year. Kyrie Irving's not going to make anybody else better. So if it's not with Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis, can you know what? He could be Batman. Kyrie Irving could be the face of the team. He can do all that. He can be the guy in all the commercials and whatnot. But Davis being one of the best defensive players in the NBA and the fact that he gets you 29 points a night, he dominates on both ends. Then, in principle, he's the star player. Kyrie is number two. I'm cool with that. And I don't think you're going to have as many problems if Davis is here because Kyrie Irving will be like, oh, I'm playing with one of my friends, one of the best players in the NBA. So I don't think you'd have all those Kyrie problems. But if he's not here, then it's just the Kyrie show again, and you're dealing with this each and every month, it seems like you're dealing with now, except this time he has a contract, and eventually he'll ask for a trade if things don't go his way. I would be real careful if I'm Brad Stevens, too. If Kyrie comes back and Anthony Davis isn't here, I mean, that relationship could go down the tubes. That could get ugly. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Murrow in Boston. What's up, Murrow?
What's up, man?
What's going on?
So I'm just here listening about the whole Kyrie Irving thing. Couple things that really caught my mind is people talk about Kyrie being a leader, kind of have this image of him in the leader role. Never really thought Kyrie was a leader. Like we said, he's always been under LeBron's wing. So even when LeBron was off the court and him leading the team, they weren't winning that many games. Just to go back to the last play, I had just said, I don't know why I give Kyrie the ball. He had a pretty bad game. There were a couple options open. Tatum in the corner, that was the first option. Kyrie being the second, Morris as well. Another thing to touch up on as well, Morris is really, I wouldn't say Morris is a bad player, you know. I think Morris is more of a, I'd find him as an aggressive defensive player more than an offensive player.
I don't think he's a bad player. I just don't like his style where it's complete isolation and he's a black hole. Every time he gets the ball, it seems like it's going up in the air. He's not willing to pass the ball like most other guys. And my whole point with Morris is I believe there's higher upside for this year, not in the future, this year with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown getting more shots. Some of those shots that Marcus Morris gets, I would like those to go to Jaylen Brown and to Jason Tatum. And like tonight, when you realize like, okay, Jaylen Brown's a young player. He's having a really good game. He was 6 of 9 from the field. I would just like him to be more involved in the plan. Like at some point, Brad Stevens has to, because obviously it's not coming organically through the team. At some point, let's get those guys more involved in the offense and get it away from Marcus Morris a little bit. Marcus Morris was great at the beginning of the season in terms of his shooting percentage. He has not been the same player. That's my problem with Morris. I don't think he's a bad player. I just think the fact that he had that great beginning of the season, that has empowered him to think essentially he's Robin to Kyrie's Batman, and that shouldn't be the case on this team.
I understand that. And with that being said, I feel like with the whole Kyrie situation, I feel like he's trying to step it up and really trying to have Kyrie's back as well. But me personally, I'm a fan of Morris. There was times this year where he has came in clutch offensively, defensively. In the playoffs last year, I think he played tremendously, if you ask me. Another thing that I also think that the Celtics should tune up on, right now, I feel like we have a lot of guards. Players that who think they're guards. I think for this team moving on into getting better, I feel like we just need better bigs. I like Baines is all right to me, and Tice is all right as well, but I feel like when we have more aggressive bigs that can spread the floor and really score more, I really feel like that's the missing piece for the Celtics right now. Horford, I'm somewhat of a fan of Horford, but I don't know. There's just something about him in his game that I don't really like personally. But in order for the Celtics to move on in the season and really finish it off with a bang, I feel like the whole situation with the bigs on the floor, something has to change. I feel like the team is just too small this year. Not too small this year. It's been small this year, last year. I feel like when it comes to the bigs, that situation needs to get cleaned up a little bit more.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, but we don't play through the bigs in the NBA anymore. That's just the reality of it, okay? Nobody plays through the big man anymore besides, like, Joel Embiid in Philadelphia, Anthony Davis in New Orleans, and he's inside and outside. Nobody plays through the post. And Aaron Baines, what's he going to do? I understand he's hurt right now, but what is he going to do on the court? You're not going to play through Aaron Baines. I personally like Horford's game. I do. I understand there's this whole thing about, is Horford really a star and all that different type of stuff. As a number two, number three option, I really like Al Horford, okay? The guy's aggressive. He rebounds, or I should say he should be more aggressive at times. He rebounds. He's an excellent passer. I would say after Hayward, he's the second best passer on this team, and I get Hayward as mightily underachieved, but the past couple of games when Hayward had the ball, it looked good with it in Hayward's hands. I think they're fine in terms of the personnel. It's more of an issue of getting things on the right track here in terms of Brad Stevens meshing the Kyrie offense with what he wants his offense to be. I don't have any issue whatsoever with the roster. Danny Ainge has put together a great roster for this team. Okay, you look at rosters across the NBA, how many would you say are better than the Celtics? I mean, the Warriors we know. maybe you throw the Raptors in there. But to me, you look just like 1 through 8 or 9. The Celtics have the deepest roster in the NBA. The Raptors have some nice pieces. The Bucks have some nice pieces. But you're talking about 2 number 3 picks in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Kyrie, who's supposed to be your superstar. Al Horford is a max level guy. So you look at the depth on this team, it's pretty much there. I don't need any more minutes from Daniel Tice. I really don't. So I don't understand that point about Daniel Tice. He's just not a very good player. That's the reality of this situation. He hustles a lot. I give him credit for that, but he's not playing major minutes in a playoff series. That's just the reality of it. They have plenty of guards. They have plenty of wings. It's just getting it right. And Marcus Morris is not the answer to this team's problems when you get into the postseason. That's just not going to win you games in the postseason. You need Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to step up more. And Jason Tatum could have been more of the number two option if Brad Stevens actually built that into the offense as the season went on, but he never really did that. Never did it. Let's get to Brian in Worcester. What's up, Brian?
It's not a leader. The fact that he's a me-then-you guy, I need the last shot, I need this, I need that, it handcuffs not only the whole team but the coach. It's killing the Celtics. We need a we guy. And I know all the talent's there in the Celtics. You have all the talent in the world, but you need a team guy that's going to lead that team, especially at his position. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Brian, do you think that the Celtics players like Kyrie?
Absolutely not. It's too forced.
Yep, that's my point. I appreciate it, Brian. That's my point with Kyrie Irving. Now, he has his buddies, the Marcus Morrises of the world, and Jason Tatum's kind of like his puppy, right? He's kind of his puppy because they both went to Duke. He takes him on vacation, all that different type of stuff. So I'm sure Jason Tatum is going to say he's buddy-buddy with Kyrie Irving. But I can't imagine, even the veteran guys on this team, where Kyrie Irving always refers back to his time in Cleveland. These guys don't know what it's like to win a championship. How sick and tired do you think even veterans on the team get about that? Like in Al Horford, how sick do you think Al Horford is that he keeps having to hear that from Kyrie Irving? All right, and then if you're one of the young guys on the team, how sick and tired are you of that? Jaylen Brown is the guy that said a couple of weeks ago that we have to do this together. Okay, we have to do this together. He said, Kyrie Irving basically, he said he's wrong with his comments, saying that the young guys have to play better. They're not ready for all this. It's all these guys. And then Kyrie Irving continues to undercut the young guys. He makes it seem like they didn't accomplish anything. This team was a win away from the NBA Finals a year ago. They had LeBron James and the Cavaliers on the ropes without you, Kyrie. That's the issue here, okay? And it's like, you make it seem like these guys have never accomplished anything. Jason Tatum was a rookie. I believe, what, do you have the second most points in the postseason for a rookie since, like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? That's how far back you have to go with Jason Tatum, okay? Now, the other thing is this. I understand the frustration with Kyrie. I'm as frustrated as everybody else. At what point are we going to get Gordon Hayward consistently playing at a decent level and on the court? Like, are we serious with this with Gordon Hayward? The guy has his two best games of the season, or two of his best four, the two Minnesota games, but at least he put two games together against the Pistons and the 76ers before the break, and then he hurts his ankle at practice. Unbelievable. Like, this is supposed to be the time where you need Gordon Hayward. The guy's just been unreliable. I get the fact he had a gruesome injury, but Paul George went through the same thing, and I get it. Paul George comes back, and he's playing at an all-star level the next season. Gordon Hayward, it's taken forever for this guy to get going. And does anybody else feel like Gordon Hayward's a little too big? He looks a little too big to me, like almost like a little too jacked, okay? Like, he's not in great basketball shape, if you will. It doesn't seem like he's in great basketball shape. He seems winded when he's on the court a lot. So you got to blame Gordon Hayward, too. But man, the whole thing with Kyrie Irving is it really feels like his negative energy has weighed on this team. Terry Rozier has even said that when they're on the court, when Kyrie's playing, they just sit around and watch him. They still haven't figured out a way. And I get some of the numbers look good, but they haven't figured out a way to mesh with Kyrie Irving. It's unbelievable. This is supposed to be one of the best players in the NBA, and all there is drama, and they can't figure out how to play with Kyrie. Let's get to Paul in Westfield. What's up, Paul?
Hey, bro. How are you, bud?
Good. What do you got?
Well, I got a good follow-up question. My name is but I'd have to say that it seems to be what you have prevailing and overwhelming evidence. Don't forget, we not just got to Game 7. We got through the other series without Kyrie, and when you're playing, move the ball, spread out the team, it works. So, you know, I don't see many of the games, so I only go by what I hear. And when you look at the oddball, quirky trend of him appearing and disappearing, and then when he's not there, they seem to Hayward seems to play a lot better. There might be something to this. However, you can't just blame Kyrie because as they say, it takes two to tango. So he doesn't come across as an arrogant, nasty type knee player. Maybe he just needs to hear this, and maybe it's a coincidence, or maybe it's something he has to address, because there really is no I or me in team, and this weird trend is a perfect example.
Yeah. What were you going to say about Davis, by the way, Paul?
I don't care what it takes. I would let Jalen, who's fast and got a great future, go, because if you remember Parrish, Robert Parrish and McHale and Bird, that's considered the greatest triangle ever. Just how much does Anthony Davis weigh? Is he's almost 7 foot, but is he big, almost 7 foot?
Yeah, he's huge. He's got like a freak show wingspan, too. Appreciate the call, Paul. I would do it, too. If you can get Anthony Davis, and that means you got to deal with Kyrie's drama, that's fine, because you have Anthony Davis. He's one of the 5 to 10 best players in the NBA. He's a great shot blocker. He is an MVP candidate in previous seasons. Now, his drama right now is just, really, I would fire my agent if I was him. Rich Paul, I mean, what a stupid decision they made. Let's demand a trade, and then we don't get one. Yeah, really looks good there in New Orleans. But anyway, back to the Kyrie thing he said real quick. I believe Kyrie does come off as arrogant. I think Kyrie comes off extremely arrogant. Kyrie is the problem with this team right now in terms of the culture. And I would say this. Do you guys feel like right now, when the team is playing without Kyrie Irving, don't you feel like they seem happier? There's a different energy around the team when Kyrie Irving isn't out there. It seems that way to me. It seems like there was a different energy in the Sixers game and a different energy in the Pistons game. All right, a lot more to get into with all this stuff going on with Kyrie Irving. Also, Brad Stevens, how much blame do you put on Brad Stevens right now? We'll get to the Red Sox bullpen at some point. Devin McCourty says he's going to play next year. What does that mean for the Patriots? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
There's only one Boston sports station that's live and local until 2 a.m. This one. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Jason, what do you take from a game like tonight, tough and competitive, down to the wire?
Yeah, it was a good game. Both teams fought hard, especially coming off the break. It's a few plays we wish we probably have, wish we could have back. But, I mean, we gave ourselves the opportunity to win the game.
What do you think you would have done differently down the stretch, looking back?
Make more shots. I mean, we made a few defensive errors, but for the most part, we try to contain them as best as possible. And, they're a good team. They're going to make shots.
I know they weren't falling like you guys are used to, but when it came to just shot selection, were you happy with the looks that you guys were getting?
Yeah, and we got a lot of great looks tonight. They didn't fall down like we wanted them to, but it's part of being the first game back from Boston break.
All right, that's Jason Tatum after the Celtics lost to the Bucks 98-97 tonight. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next about 2.5 hours now. I just think that Brad Stevens needs to have a better feel for the game. Like tonight, he has 17 points, does Jason Tatum, on 7 of 13 shooting. I'd like to see him get more shots. When that's the case, when we see that Jason Tatum is engaged early, he's getting it going, I'd like to see him more involved in the game. It took Kyrie a while to get going. He never really got on track. But with Jason Tatum, when you see him going like that, I'd like to get him more involved in the offense. Like, sometimes you can't just play this open style that they like to play. I would just like to see it be a situation where, okay, Jason Tatum's going, let's get him the ball sometimes. That's what a lot of these teams in the NBA do. It's like, okay, we see that Chris Middleton's out for the Bucks. Now, not tonight in particular. I'm saying in general, okay, we'll get Middleton some shots. We see this with teams all across the league, and it just feels like, to me, Brad Stevens doesn't have a great feel for that. He doesn't have a great feel for that. Now, in the playoffs, it's easier. It was easier for him because when Jason Tatum got going in the playoffs, he was like your option. He was your only option. But since you have all these guys in the court and Kyrie Irving is back, it seems like even when Jason Tatum gets hot, it's not like, okay, let's keep giving the ball to Jason Tatum. I just wish that Jason Tatum in certain games was somebody that got plays called for him. You don't see a ton of plays called for Jason Tatum. That's what I would like to see. That's what I would like to see with Jason Tatum. And back to the Gordon Hayward thing. This is my problem with Gordon Hayward, okay? It's just disappointing. I'm not upset with the player. I'm just upset with the fact that he has his best two games of the season outside of the Minnesota games, and then he's not available tonight because of an ankle injury. Like, that max contract right now, that is weighing on the team. And that is partly to blame for everything that's going on right now with this team. Because if Gordon Hayward was the Hayward that he was in Utah, which, if you look at the numbers, they were very similar to Jimmy Butler and Paul George, his final year in Utah, then maybe we don't have these problems in the Celtics locker room. Then maybe those problems don't exist. But look, this is where you're at with Gordon Hayward. This is where you're at. This is the situation you're in. I'm just surprised it's taken him this long. And it doesn't seem like he's gotten his athleticism back. Now, if you remember Paul George, he's the one that broke his leg during that USA practice. It was actually on TV. It was like an inter-squad scrimmage. So he missed almost that whole season. He came back for 6 games, barely played 15 minutes. The next season after that, he plays 81 games, averages 23 points a game, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists a game. With Gordon Hayward, he's averaging 11 points per game. Now, I understand the first half of the season, you may be slow to get going and whatnot, but I would have thought that Gordon Hayward would have figured it out by now. And you thought, okay, maybe he's turning a corner. Maybe he was turning a corner against the Pistons and against the 76ers. He looked the best that he's looked all year, and he was shooting the ball with consistency, which is something we have not seen from Gordon Hayward all season long. And then tonight he doesn't play because he twists his ankle at practice. It's just unbelievable to me, the lack of durability with this guy. I understand the injury last year is a serious thing, but then this year, it's just like, really? After the All-Star break, he hurts his ankle at practice? And I understand you got to be slow with this guy because he has an injury history now. But it's just frustrating because maybe if Gordon Hayward was the actual Gordon Hayward, maybe all these issues wouldn't be happening with Kyrie Irving. Maybe he wouldn't have to blame the young guys all the time because Gordon Hayward, would actually be the Robin to his Batman that we all expected. Maybe that would be the case. And if Gordon Hayward was the actual Gordon Hayward that you expected, Gordon Hayward would be that guy that could create the offense. Because we know this about Gordon Hayward. He is a tremendous passer. We've seen that on display at times this year. When they run the offense through Gordon Hayward, it looks nice. Gordon Hayward looks like he can make some plays. So if Gordon Hayward never has that injury, and I get we can't go back in time, but at least if he responded this year in a better fashion, or at least midway through the season, he picked it up. And maybe he does eventually pick it up, because if he does pick it up, then it's a new element to this team. All these moves that teams have made at the deadline, Gordon Hayward could be like the deadline deal for the Celtics. If he actually can turn the page and look at least 80% of the player he was in Utah, that's what you're looking for from Gordon Hayward the second half of the season. 617-779-7937. Let's get to John, who is in Peabody tonight. What's up, John?
Well, thank you, Brian. I just wanted to say that I've always said LeBron James is a bad teammate. And just because you can play basketball, you can pass, or you can shoot, doesn't make you a good teammate. And why would Kyrie Irving call him for advice on leadership? He was there for it. He saw what LeBron James did. He's got the same MO everywhere. Blame everybody else. Get the coach fired or trade all the players. I mean, come on. He's a terrible teammate. He never accepts any of the blame. He gets all the glory. I mean, it's so funny to hear people say, What a great player he is and how smart he is. Like I say all the time, J.R. Smith wasn't the only one that could call a timeout when he got that rebound. He was watching it. All he did was panic and get upset with J.R. Smith and blame him. The coach could have called a timeout. LeBron could have called a timeout. He always recites how he remembers. Oh, I remember every second of the game. I remember when this happened and this passed. Why didn't you remember you had timeouts and call timeouts? Why did you blame your teammates for that? You could have called timeout, LeBron. So it's awful funny to me that he would call to get leadership advice from LeBron. What did he expect? Yeah, he started to blame his teammates, not taking any of the blame, and he'll just leave if he gets a chance. I hope we trade him if we can and get some graphics, which we can't now. But I mean, I just hope we maybe re-sign him and sign him trading. Let's give him to the Lakers. Let's take somebody like Lonzo Ball or Kuzma.
Oh, God, God. Not Lonzo Ball. Come on.
Listen, Leon Paul.
Yeah, the guy can't shoot.
That is team players. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. And it's not all about a diva. They play, and like Kyrie's been so durable playing for, you know, it'll take maybe Gordon Hayward a little time to come back, but at least he's a team player. Kyrie Irving is a diva.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, John. All right. So, yes, Kyrie Irving is a diva, but Lonzo Ball sucks. Okay, the guy can't shoot. The guy cannot shoot, and then you got to deal with the father. You really want to deal with that guy's father? Unbelievable. The guy finally came out of the woodwork again. He says that Lonzo should be in Phoenix because he can run that team, and then they can get all three of their boys there and build a dynasty. Hey, come on. At least he's back and relevant again, but he's doing the same crap that he's doing before. I mean, come on. Nobody wants any part of Lonzo Ball. He's not even a good player. Like, Kyrie's drama, you're going to put up with some of it because he's a great player. Same thing with LeBron. And back to the LeBron point, yes, learning leadership from LeBron is not good. Just because he wins at a high level doesn't mean that he's a great leader. You think his teammates like him right now? He was basically trying to orchestrate a trade to get rid of all the guys. All right, trying to get rid of all the guys because his agent is the same agent as Anthony Davis. And I understand that they wanted Anthony Davis. But if you're LeBron and you're Rich Paul, because we know LeBron's behind all this crap, you better make sure you get Anthony Davis, because now you're living with all these guys that they know that you don't want him on the team. Kyrie should know this as well as anybody else, because this whole thing with LeBron, remember he came out and he said he didn't want Kyrie Irving traded. He said that. But he said that they shouldn't do the Isaiah Thomas deal. He told the organization that. But before that, when he heard about the Paul George trade that was on the table, remember there was a three-way trade that would have ended up with Paul George going to Cleveland. They said, hey, LeBron, if you commit to us, we're going to get Paul George. He was on board with Paul George, but he wouldn't commit to a contract. So he wanted to get rid of Kyrie at one point. So learning your leadership style from that guy, probably not a good thing. It's always everybody else's fault. You look at what he did to Kevin Love for years. Kevin Love is a guy that comes over from Minnesota, sacrifices getting a ton of shots. He was averaging like 1 point in Minnesota, like 26 and like 13 or 12 rebounds. He was dominant, right? And he sacrifices all these shots, and all he gets for it is stuff on Twitter. You're either with us or against us. You're in or out. So LeBron James constantly blames everything else on his teammates. That's just the reality of the situation with LeBron. And Kyrie, if you're a Celtics fan, you're like, you're getting leadership advice from him? The guy that you publicly said, or not publicly, basically you asked for a trade because you didn't want to play with him because you didn't like his leadership style. Now you're saying you understand where he was coming from? Now you understand it? Just because you won a championship doesn't mean LeBron was right. LeBron's maybe the greatest talent we've ever seen in the sport. That doesn't mean he's a great leader, okay? And the fact that Kyrie Irving is now apparently taking advice from LeBron James, not good for Celtics fans. That's not exactly what you want to hear. You don't want LeBron to be your leader. You want Kevin Garnett to be your leader. That type of personality, that's who you want to be your leader. You don't want it to be the LeBron James type. As great as LeBron is, not exactly the great leader. Like when he's in Miami, at least he's got Dwayne Wade to check him. Dwayne Wade can tell him, LeBron, I don't know about this. Okay, at least you have Dwayne Wade there. But, I mean, in Cleveland, he was just doing whatever he wanted. He's so great, he won one of those championships. But now look at him. I think his teammates like him right now, just like with Kyrie. Like, learn from LeBron. You think your teammates like you when you continue to call them out publicly. All right, a lot more to get into with this Kyrie stuff. We'll get into Brad Stevens as well. Devin McCourty is coming back to the Patriots. Plus, Alex Cora with some comments on the bullpen. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
There's only one Boston sports station that's live and local until 2 a.m. This one. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
The reason we're asking about it is because the people, the fans are interested in it. That's all.
Oh, the fans?
Yes.
It's about the fans.
Okay,
this is about you're right for the fans.
What you do with your life, I don't have.
Okay, so that's where we started the conversation. What I do in my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's. It's not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Like, do you get that? And then I'm asked questions about it. Like, that's what disconnects me from all that. Like, because I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking questions about the fans. You brought up the fans. Come on, man. You do it for the likes and clicks. Everybody does. Everybody wants to hear me talk like this. Like, everybody wants to hear every athlete talk about bull like this. A video, though, to pull water on it?
No, I'm saying it
makes no sense. This makes no sense.
Oh, boy, that's Kyrie Irving the other day with Steve Bolpet of the Boston Herald. What I don't understand from that is, okay, the frustration, clearly, I would be frustrated too if I was Kyrie Irving. I do understand that portion of it. It's like you're talking to your friend and this video comes out where it looks like you say two max slots. I never bought the video. I thought it was stupid to begin with. I don't think Kyrie Irving is dumb enough to do that in the middle of a hallway with Kevin Durant. If he's going to have that conversation, he just acknowledged the fact that Durant's one of his best friends. We know he was the only one out there when he won his MVP award in the All-Star game, did Kevin Durant. Kyrie's the only player still out there. They had dinner together in Miami a couple of nights ago. We know their boys, I should say. We know they're buddies, okay? So when Kyrie Irving is possibly talking about going to the Knicks, if he is hypothetically, then he's going to have that conversation with Kevin Durant at the dinner when they're just hanging out, maybe through text. He's not going to do it in the tunnel where people are. And it was almost like they were secretly taped in Kyrie Irving's words. But the thing I don't understand about the whole thing is he said the fans care about this. I don't understand how Kyrie Irving thinks that the fans don't care about this. There was like a 48-hour period where fans, not only in Boston, not only in New England, but all over the country, were dissecting if Kyrie Irving actually said to Kevin Durant, two max slots. He realizes that the fans do care about this. This isn't like a media thing. The fans actually do care about where you go in your free agency. And you allegedly saying two max slots, even though personally I don't think you did it, and it's unfortunate that became a story, but fans do care about that. And he was giving you an opportunity, was Steve Bolpet, to say, hey, just you want to pour some water on this? Even if you may go to the Knicks and you've said, ask me on July 1st about your free agency, right? We've heard that in the past couple of weeks here. even if that is your plan, you don't want to reveal it obviously yet, but at least just say that's not what I said. At least lie. Even if that is really what you said, just say, no, I didn't say two max slots. Make a joke about it. Be like, I was in the tunnel talking to Kevin Durant and you guys came up with that. Why would I ever say that? Like, just make something up. But you could have just denied it and you could have just put an end to it and be like, no, that's not what I said. Be like, laugh about it or something along those lines. But the fact that he actually believed that the fans, or he said that the fans don't care about that. All the fans care about is your free agency. What have we been talking about for like weeks now with Kyrie Irving? It's, will he possibly go to the Knicks and team up with Kevin Durant? That has been a serious subject. And Kyrie Irving has to at least acknowledge this. You've made this the subject, right? You didn't have to come out at the beginning of the season and say to the season ticket holders that you wanted to return to the Celtics as long as they would have you. You didn't have to do a commercial for Nike with your dad saying that you wanted your number up in the rafters at the Boston Garden. You didn't have to do all that. And when you did that, you realize you really won over Celtics fans, saying, oh, I want to be the next Celtics legend, allegedly, or apparently, and saying that you wanted to be with the Celtics as long as they would want you there. Like, you were somebody that Celtics fans loved. But when you say, ask me on July 1st about free agency, then it's a total reversal. And everybody's going to be upset with you, Kyrie. That's just the reality of where we're at right now in this sport. Guys have all kinds of power now in the NBA. And since now, you've decided to flex your muscles. We thought you were the opposite. We thought you were saying, okay, I wanted out of Cleveland so I could be with the Celtics long term. You said you wanted to be here. Now it's like you're flexing your muscles to say, oh, I still could leave. All you had to do the other day, and I understand maybe you are considering going to the Knicks. We know you're buddies with Kevin Durant. Okay, all you had to say was no. In that video, you could have just laughed and said, you guys are dumb. I didn't say two max slots. That's all you had to do. Instead, you make this whole thing about it's the media's fault. The media wanted to make a story about this thing. He said to Steve Bolpet, you wanted clicks and likes. He wasn't looking for that. He didn't write a story about the video. He was asking you a couple of days later about it, giving you an opportunity to clear the air. Because unfortunately for you, you were put in a crappy situation because of that video, but you could have easily cleared the air. It's not the worst thing in the world. All you have to say is, hey guys, you know what? That video, I'm not saying two max slots. Why are you so defensive about it, Kyrie? That would be my question to Kyrie Irving. Why are you so defensive about this thing? Unbelievable to me that he actually believes that the fans don't care about this stuff. That's literally all anybody was talking about for 48 hours in the NBA world. Will it be Kyrie and Kevin Durant? How many times do we have to see the picture of Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and Zion Williamson? Okay, we see this all the time. This is like a subject on nationally televised shows, pardon the interruption, all those things, around the horn, like every day. That video was a subject there. So you think that as the media, you think the media is just talking about things the fans don't care about? The reason they're talking about those things is because those are the subjects that the fans actually care about. The media does things for ratings. So the Kyrie buzz rates. They're naturally going to care about where you're going in free agency, Kyrie. All right, a lot more to get into tonight. We can continue to talk about Kyrie Irving, all the drama there, the stuff going on with Brad Stevens as well. How much is he to blame for what's going on? Also, Alex Cora made an announcement about the closer for the Red Sox going forward. Interesting there. And Devin McCourty says he is coming back to the Patriots. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.